Kristen, I know that you were and are a big fan of the original Footloose from 1984.
How can you not be? It is so good.
Well, I was the perfect age for that movie when it came out. I liked the original Footloose, but I also had a lot of problems with it. And
how could you possibly have any problems with the original Footloose? I mean, Kevin Bacon is magic. The soundtrack is magic. Rebelling against authority, magic.
Okay. I agree with you. I agree with you all the way. Chris Penn in that movie as Willard. Also magic.
Yes.
A great cast.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Magic
as
Rusty.
As Rusty.
She is.
Right.
She is. I'm not kidding about any of this.
Yes.
She's
no.
Great.
Really, really good cast. Laurie Singer, who plays the preacher's
She's
daughter.
The only bad thing about
you know,
it.
I well,
just cannot. Okay. All right.
I was not that. I didn't have any problem with Laurie Singer. Here was my problem with the original Footloose. Now, when I was a teenager, I was very orthodox about my cultural tastes. I was very, very orthodox about new wave. If I didn't want to hear any music that was not new wave, it had to be inorganic and synthesizer driven. And if it was not, I did not want to hear it, and it had no place in my record collection. And I was really upset to see Kevin Bacon arriving in this town of Beaumont, you know, from the big city. He comes from Chicago and arrives in this town looking ostensibly like a new waver. You know, he looks
skinny tie.
Skinny tie.
Spiky hair.
Right, right. Sort of a cross between Rick Ocasek and David Bowie, right?
Yes.
His mother, I think, even compares him at one point to David Bowie, right? Saying something to him like, do you really want to go for the David Bowie look on your first day of school or something like that? But it turns out that he's listening to nothing but just top 40 schlock. He's listening to, you know, holding
Kenny
on
Loggins.
To a hero. And he's listening to
Kenny
freaking Loggins. And I just kind
of
thought,
the voice of rebellion,
you
Kenny
know what?
Loggins.
Not in my Air Force, man. Not, that is not happening in my New Wave Army. And so that, I was very upset by that. So that was my problem with the original Footloose.
I love of all the problems to have with this movie. That's the
yeah. I know it's silly, and as I've grown older, I've become much more open minded towards such things.
Now you love Kenny Loggins.
Now I just adore Kenny Loggins.
You do. I know. But the reason we're talking about this obviously is because the new Footloose,
the 2011 Footloose,
almost 30 years after the original, hits theaters today.
That's right.
And well, before we talk about our feelings about that, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
All right. We have a whole new generation being introduced to Footloose today.
Yeah.
And let's just, I'll let you do this part. Give us a brief plot summary of what Footloose then and now, or I guess the whole thing hasn't really changed much as far as the plot, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. That's one thing I think you and I probably both noticed is that the script, which was by a guy named Dean Pitchford, who, by the way, also co-wrote the Kenny Loggins title track.
No.
Yes, indeed.
that guy is
now rich, I'm pretty sure. At least I hope he is. So he wrote the original Footloose. You know, it's basically a takeoff of Rebel Without a Cause, right? Kid arrives in a new town, makes some enemies, makes some friends, you know, spots the juvenile delinquent girl, falls for her. There's even a chicken race, you know. In Rebel Without a Cause, they're drag racing. In Footloose, it's tractors. The local reverend has basically cracked down on drinking, dancing, amplified music, all the things that make teenagers teenagers. And Laurie Singer plays Ariel, who is the preacher's daughter, and she's sort of the town
not tramp.
Yeah, not,
no, she's not that much of a tramp.
You
she's
said really, it, Kristen. I didn't.
No, she's really much more the girl who needs way too much attention and constantly lives on the edge.
She does say, you know, at one point, blaspheming in church, "I'm not even a virgin." You know, to her shocked father. You know, it's a nice touch where Willard in the film, who plays the kind of hot-headed but amiable hick friend of Wren, says, "I think she's been kissed a lot." which I thought was a nice way of putting it, right?
Yes.
So basically, there's not much more to the plot aside from the fact that Kevin Bacon's got to dance, and he's got to figure out a way to get the kids dancing and defy the preacher.
Damn it, they're going to dance, and you can't stop
them.
That's
right. You can't stop
them. You cannot stop these kids from dancing.
You can't stop youth.
Yes.
John Lithgow played the teacher, a great role, and I thought he was actually really good in it. Rewatching the film, mm-hmm. I did as well not too long ago.
And Diane Wiest is his wife.
Diane Wiest, right.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Very lovely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about the things that are more or less the same between these movies.
And, yeah.
The first thing I want to point out, Ariel, the preacher's daughter, equally irritating. Just as irritating as the original.
She is. She's an irritating
character.
Just
as awful. She's so irritating. She has so little ability to self-reflect. She's completely self-destructive, but really just wants to get attention. So
yes.
She's not really self-destructive. She's just very irritating.
Yes.
And does stuff that makes her friends upset, upsets her parents, upsets other people in her community.
Yes.
She needs a lot of attention. She's got scary blue eyes like the devil.
Yes, incredible.
In both
yes.
movies.
Right, right.
And those naughty red cowboy boots.
Those naughty red cowboy boots,
in
that's
both
right.
Movies.
And
yes.
tight jeans, which never go out of fashion.
Everybody loves tight jeans.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's the same. Although I do want to say, in both movies, Julianne Hough plays the new Ariel
of Dancing with the Stars fame.
Right, yes. A budding country singer herself, a triple threat.
Yes.
Don't you think the character of Ariel is actually very real? She's very, very believable as a small town girl rebelling in the only way that she knows how. You know, rebelling against her dad, and of course, the way that you do that is to tramp yourself up, right, and sleep with the bad boyfriend, and sort of use your body to get all the attention you can. And she is, I think, supposed to be kind of an irritating character who kind of comes around at the end, and I think kind of realizes that she's been, she says a lot in the film, you think I'm small town, don't you? Because she doesn't want to be small town, but she so is. I think that's very believable.
I guess I can say, yes, she's believable, but I like characters to have some more nuance to them, both likable.
In Footloose. Okay,
maybe
Kristen.
I'm asking for too much here. Maybe I'm asking for too much. You know what else was very similar? The Ren McCormick character mm-hmm. also wore the skinny tie on the
also
first day
Also wore the skinny
school.
Tie, which is interesting because now the skinny tie is back, or at least was not too long ago when the Strokes brought it back. But, I mean, it's funny how from 1984 to 2011, the skinny tie sort of...
The Jonas Brothers wears them.
Right. It went out of fashion, came right back.
Justin Bieber wears them.
Right, right.
Yeah, they love the skinny tie now. So... He's got certain fashion things the same. He still drives a VW in this movie.
The canary yellow VW, right? Still, which looks even cooler now, right?
Now I mean, it's retro.
Now it's totally classic, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in 84, it just looked like kind of like an old car.
Yeah. He still has an uncle and an aunt and a couple of little girl cousins that he has to suddenly move in with after mm-hmm. living in the big city his whole life.
Right.
In this case, Boston.
Boston.
And with his Boston accent.
I do want to say, which he comes by, honestly, he's from Stoughton, Massachusetts.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, right, which is not too far from Boston. So he because I kept thinking to myself, all right, now in the original, Kevin Bacon was from Chicago. And this one, this guy's from Boston. You wouldn't have somebody fake one of the hardest accents on the planet to fake unless that guy was actually from Boston, right?
Oh, well, I'm glad he's really from Boston because at times I couldn't tell if he was really...
Sort of overdoing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also want to say, again, I do love Kevin Bacon in the original, but that is the worst Chicago accent I've ever heard. he really sounds more like Brooklyn. He's got this kind of tough guy Brooklyn thing going on.
Yeah, very much so.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not Chicago.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, this time he, again, relocates to Beaumont again, right?
Yes, right.
Only
this time
it's
Georgia.
In Georgia.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It's Georgia.
Which I thought was a nice touch to sort of put it in an identifiable state.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I have no idea, there's the nightclub scene where they sort of cross the county line and go out to a nightclub where they can dance and get some beer. And I kept wondering if that was in the ATL or not. I wasn't sure. Are we in Atlanta now? It's not really clear.
I had no idea. Again, the plot is very, very similar. We have a crackdown on dancing and amplified music because some kids one night a few years ago had too much dancing.
Had too much dancing in their system when they crashed their car.
Right. Including the preacher's older child.
Right,
his son.
Bobby. Right.
Yes, Bobby. And we have certain things that are the same. We have main characters also. We have Rusty, Ariel's best friend with the curly hair, this time played by somebody who looks to be more mixed race.
Yeah, Puerto Rican. And, She's a Puerto Rican actress. Right, which I thought was interesting.
Yep. And in the first one, it was Sarah Jessica Parker as the best friend, Rusty. Mm-hmm. And then as our best friend who was played by Christopher Penn in the first one, we have somebody who looks exactly like Christopher Penn.
Oh, did you think he did?
Did you see it?
Yes.
You see the similarities, or you?
So, I mean, sort of. Really, this is for all intents and purposes a scene for scene, if not shot for shot, remake of the original. I mean, from the opening credits with the shoes dancing montage.
And, just from the knees down.
Right.
Yep.
Right. All that stuff. I mean, it's really very, the closing sequence where they're all dancing at the alt prom, where they have the alternative
in
prom.
In the barn industrial complex.
Yes. Right. You know, they do the same thing with the men's feet coming one way, the women's feet coming the other way. You know, they do a lot of, they recreate a lot of the same shots.
But I do think that this movie did some things better.
Okay, like what?
And some things worse. But
okay.
Some things, for example, I think that the opening in the original movie, you have a lot of close-ups of feet dancing and then the opening song, Footloose. But then you just move on to the story. In this case, those opening feet dancing are part of the story.
They're part of the story. That's right. That's right.
It's a really big, I thought, shocking opening.
It is kind of. Yes, that's right.
And I really thought that it... You know, in that way, I thought it was much more modern, and it allowed the audience to see more things and set up the story better.
Yes, and in the background, you are seeing that you can behind those feet, you can see the bottoms of kegs, and you can see the classic signifier of the red plastic cup, which always means
the red Solo
alcohol
cup.
At the party, right?
Yes.
So there is that setup, which is nice.
Yeah. I thought the opening was fantastic. It was better than the first opening in a lot of ways. It pays tribute to the first movie's opening while then kicking it up a notch.
Exactly.
Yes, it does. It does.
Right.
And then other things that I thought were really clever as far as updates go, there are different one-liners, people sassing each other in the movie, kind of, I'm the big guy here sort of lines. At one point, one of the lines thrown out in the new movie is, Ren McCormick, back when he lived in Boston, used to do gymnastics.
And right.
Ariel's kind of redneck boyfriend says to him, you know, I thought only fags did gymnastics.
That's right.
And his response, which I thought was so brilliant and so 2011, was, I thought only assholes used the word fag.
That's right.
That was great.
I think that is actually in the original.
No.
I am pretty sure.
Really?
I am pretty sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't remember that from the first one.
There are a lot of lines that come directly from the original, and I am pretty sure we'll have to place a bet.
Okay,
listeners, join in on that. But I'm pretty sure that line's in the original.
I'll have to rewatch it because that is a great line.
It's a great line.
It's a great line, and there are some other great lines in the movie. And one of the things I also really thought was a great update in this movie that Ren McCormick isn't just himself against the whole world in this town. He actually has a really supportive uncle.
Yes, the uncle is much more supportive, whereas in the original, he's much more with the preacher and against Ren.
It's great. His uncle is really... I thought that was one of the greatest things about this movie. The relationship between Ren and his uncle in the movie I thought was really well executed.
Yes.
It was funny and, you know... I thought it was great.
It's interesting, too, because that uncle character and the conversations that he has with Ren allow the movie to punch up a certain message that I think was never really brought to the fore in the original, and which I think is very timely given the sort of pre-election season that we're in. More than once, Ren says to his uncle, "Whatever happened to separation of church and state?" Right? And his uncle is saying, blah, blah, blah. This, because what they're talking about is, you know, the reverend imposing this ban on dancing because it's a sin, right? And then another point, Ren is saying, like, why can't you buy beer on a Sunday? You know, and the uncle is saying, like, well, because it's Sunday and that's God's day. And Ren says something, I'm going to have to paraphrase here, but Ren basically says, like, something like, what is God doing in the government? basically. He says these really, really like very clearly delineates this secular message of like separating out religion from government, which nobody was talking about in 1984.
No.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And his uncle brings up points that I think are very good also, which this has always been the case. This isn't a new thing.
Right.
Don't pretend right now like this is so shocking.
And his uncle's an interesting character. His uncle is a realistic character in the sense that he is like, he's not a true believer, but he's a family man in a small town, and he's a Christian, and he goes to church. And look, I know some of it's ridiculous, but that's the way we do it. And I feel like most people are not fanatics. Most people are just like this uncle. And I thought that was good.
Yeah, that
another
was great.
Another good update I noticed, black people.
They
exist this time, whereas they did not
so
exist at all
they existed
in the original.
This time. I was really, really happy about
yes.
that. However, can I just say one thing? I had a minor issue as far as the black people go in the movie. They didn't get to talk very much.
No.
But they did. They love to dance even more than the white kids.
I think one of the things that's interesting about this new... This goes to my point about how sort of dogmatic I was as a teenager. I don't think teenagers are dogmatic that way anymore. I think everybody listens to a little bit of everything. And it seemed real to me that everybody would be listening to hip-hop. Everybody would be listening to, you know, country and rock and pop and, you know, and freaking the White Stripes. And that seemed realistic to me. And also, you know... It seemed real to me that what we think of as quote-unquote black dancing would be known and popular among the white kids in this town as it was in the original Footloose. At the end of the original Footloose, again, not a black person to be seen in the entire film, who does the break dancing at the end? It's like two or three white guys. Right? They start pop-locking and doing the robot and doing actual break dancing. And I kept thinking, who taught you that?
You know
what I mean? Like,
these are good points. These are valid points.
Right.
These are valid points.
Okay.
I will take that. All right. So what did you think worked and didn't work? What worked and didn't? Did you like all these updates? Did you? I mean.
I did. And I have to say, I actually really, really liked the film a lot. I was really pleased.
Liked it better than the first? The original?
I would say I liked it as much as the first again, because it's sort of the identical film with, you know, just different cast and, you know, different outfits. But I think it really has this just sort of youthful spirit and this youthful message that doesn't run very deep. You know, it's not some kind of generational manifesto that's being given to us, you know. At one point, you know, Ren gets up in front of the town hall and he says, you know, if it's the parent's job to worry, then it's the teenager's job to live, to play our music real loud and act like idiots. And I just thought, that's totally true. That's a completely valid statement to say as a teenager. That's totally your job. What else is teenagerhood for? And the film, I think, really captures that spirit of just being, rebellious without a cause and just, you know, and just having fun and being young while you can.
This is the second time you've compared this movie to Rebel Without a Cause.
It's the same script. I'm sorry. It's the same script. Okay.
All right. So you were one of the men crying around me.
I was not, but I can't.
There were so many people crying around me, mostly men.
That reaction I don't quite understand.
They seem to be men in their 40s. The guy in front of me at one point just was blowing his nose to know. And Ariel had just had towards the end, a serious talk with her dad in the church.
Maybe he was a parent.
And he was bawling and blowing his nose. Maybe he had a daughter who was out of control.
Right.
I don't know. And then the guy had my left, and then across the aisle. I'm like,
is that right?
I'm like, Rafer, is that you? Rafer. Because I knew we came in at different times to the theater, so we didn't sit together for
you
this
thought I was just. You thought I was just
I was
pretending
like,
to
like,
ignore
Rafer,
you?
Rafer, settle down. It's okay. Rafer, you need a
Kristen,
Kleenex?
That was not me. That was not me. And I don't, the crying, I don't understand. I understand, you know, sort of, you know, tapping your toes in your seat, but I don't understand the crying.
That wasn't you. You loved it nostalgically and in an updated modern way.
I did.
And yet you did not cry. All right.
I did not cry.
I did not cry either.
Okay.
I didn't cry. And even if I did cry, let's say I was going to cry in this movie, it wouldn't have been over Ariel and her dad.
Okay.
It would have been over Ren McCormick and a little twist in this movie over the original, his relationship with his mom.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which
right.
I don't want to give it all away.
Right.
I don't want to give it all away.
Right.
But the movie, I liked it more than I didn't.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm not giving it 100% endorsement here.
Kind of a middling review
from
you.
But I liked it more than I did. I felt like a lot of the scenes went on a little too long, were a little too slow, oddly. Hmm. The scenes that, you know, bumped along quickly, I thought, which went great, the dance makeover scene. Who does not love the dance makeover scene?
Yes, right, with the Willard character where he's teaching him how to dance.
Yeah.
And to the same song, right? Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. That, of course, the final prom scene, the opening dance scene. Some of these just went along at such a great clip. Mm-hmm. And then other scenes just, they seem to go on for freaking ever.
Huh.
Like the chicken race with the buses in this movie. Like, is this scene still going on? Really?
That's funny.
Yeah, some of the scenes just seemed kind of slow and to go on too long, and I accept that in a movie from 1984 because everything just, scenes were longer then.
Yeah, sure.
And I felt in this movie things went a little too slow sometimes.
Interesting. I didn't feel that.
That being said, I think that the updates were smart, and
yeah.
I liked it more than I didn't.
I thought it had all the same attributes, all the same assets as the original. I thought it had, a cross-generation, not generational, but sort of a broad appealing soundtrack. I thought it had a really youthful, energetic, really likable cast. And, you know, they stuck to the bones of the script, which I think have held up really well. And, you know, I thought it really worked. I think, like the original, it takes a lot of time with the Reverend character and humanizes him and makes him sympathetic, which I think adds a little interesting dimension to the movie. And, you know, I was really charmed by it.
All right. So you think it's a great date?
I would say it's a great date.
I'd say it's a fine date.
A fine date. How did this happen? How am I recommending the dancing movie to you?
Oh, God. I wish it was a singing movie. Because you know what, Rafer? Last time we talked about singing movies, you said you would sing in our next podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's never going to happen.
No, it will. It will someday because you know what? Unfortunately for our listeners, it doesn't matter if you're dancing or not because they can't see it.
Yeah, that's right. That's
next,
right.
Next time we're going to have you sing. We're going to have you sing a little bit of... Kenny Loggins.
Don't hold your breath.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.